This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
First exposure to hip-hop, they threw up, it's not culture, it's trash, an epidemic, a rash, flash in the pan, a fad, then it blew up, let's go.
Man, what a week.
Beautiful week.
There's a lot of cool things that happen in hip-hop I want to talk about.
Please do.
Well, the last time we were here, we had our guest, Matt Sanzala. Shout out to Pusher Mania. Pusher Matt. He goes by many names. Houston So Real, Austin So Real.
What's up, Matt? Thanks for stopping by.
We were talking about how he feels that in today's hip-hop that you know, a lot of the things that come out, a lot of the hip-hop music that come out, it's the words don't matter, and the words should matter more, you know. I guess that there is like a balance, right, of party music and rap songs with meaning and empowerment, and that balance is kind of not there anymore. You know, you definitely hear more of the party songs and less of social messages. Am I correct on this, Babu?
I do hear that argument a lot, but I also think there's such an abundance of material.
Yes.
That you can carve out whatever type of stuff you want. But I do think, you know, people focus on, you know, the hits and what's getting the most push, but also have the opportunity to opt out of any push. So it's just kind of, I see a whole picture there besides just the argument of we need balance.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And yeah, we did talk about a lot of things. We're here for an hour, right?
So
we
talked
about a whole bunch of stuff. But I, in the end, we left with, it's a weird moment in hip hop. It's a weird moment. Like, you know, there's a lot, it kind of reminds of the disco era, right? Just music. We just like having a good time, but just, you know, not a lot of social messages, but there is a lot of hip hop artists, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have our Kendricks, we have our J. Cole's. That's right. Out of the big industry, but in so many more others. Just doing awesome things and having a message and doing things in the community. We talked about Trey, the Truth, right? We talked about Fat Tony, a lot of independent artists.
Talked about Toby,
yeah. And then a lot of things happen in rap, like, you know, Zero dropped an album, Tekashi 6ix9ine, who's like that guy we've been talking about with the rainbow hair, Mexican from New York. He got arrested, and you know, a week or two after he gets mysteriously arrested by the FBI or whatever, after doing some pretty like hardcore stuff on social media for the past couple years, he gets arrested, and then guess what? Album drops, and the album's banging. You know, from a DJ, like you listen to the beats and the songs, and you know they're hits.
Of course they are.
They're disco hits, all right? Modern rap. It's that, but it jams. Played several of those in the club. People went off. And then a couple other records came out. Another one being Meek Mill's Championships.
Championships. Win, 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 win.
Man, it was jamming. Several songs. Some club bangers for sure. But there's one song in particular called What's Free that, I don't know, I think would satisfy the argument we had this last week that, you know, a lot of hip hop hasn't grown up yet, and we're not getting some social message hip hop. But man,
in my opinion,
Meek Mill drops a song with Rick Ross and Jay-Z, and it's fire in my opinion. And
it is. Rick Ross feels like an afterthought on this song.
I thought I like his voice.
Yeah, I like his voice.
He kills
too.
It. He reminds me of like drug boss from Miami doing a rap, right? So it kind of reminds you of like, you know, the Tigres del Norte, you know, these like narco band, you know, Sinaloa from Northern California, that are just like, you know, legends talking about like rap game stuff. That's what I feel like Rick Ross sounds like when he raps. He just kind of like says some crazy street stuff.
Cool.
Does so I respect that. It kind of goes along with the story.
Yeah, he's grooving.
Even though I've met the actual Rick Ross.
Yeah.
The actual freeway Ricky Ross, and looks nothing like him. But
it just didn't feel, and I've only listened to it this is my first impression. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Rick Ross is Rick Ross.
Yeah.
But it felt to me like he didn't make the song any better by the time I got those other two verses.
No.
Go ahead and get to it. Let's get to it. You know, next time I listen to this, I want to get straight to
the meat. The hook is called What's Free? And he goes, what's free? Free is when nobody else tells you what to be. Free is when the TV ain't controlling what you see. You know,
it's Biggie Smalls' record. You're nobody till somebody kills you, right?
Something like that. Yeah. And then Rick Ross does his verse, right? And I think he takes a shout out to Tekashi in there. And then, because he talks about, I guess, his arrest, or it sounds like he is, because you said screaming gang gang, now you want a rat, racketeering charges, got him on a tap. That sounds like it's Tekashi. But more importantly, this is the hip hop grew up part.
Right. Let's get to that.
Meek Mill, sorry. You know,
you good?
I'm scrolling down, and so this is the order, right? And so now we're talking about Meek Mill and his lyrics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me make sure I'm getting all this. So anyway, as we know, Meek Mill is a rapper from Philadelphia, signed to Rick Ross. And more importantly, he's young man who had a little criminal history, and he was on probation or something. They had him, he was locked up. I think they proved that, like, the judge that convicted him was, you know, convicting a bunch of other young men and, like, kind of giving them extended staying time in prison. Somehow Jay-Z gets involved, right? Helps get him out. So in the verse, he's saying
Jay-Z's helped a lot of people out.
Jay-Z's helped a lot of people out, including Meek Mill. Got him out of prison.
He's dropping, you know, movies about the criminal justice system and how it's affected, you know, what they call urban. Yeah, really definitely urban, like major urban society as far as New York, black folks, ghetto, around the United States, really starting to bring that voice out. With this 444 album. I mean, he's always had what he's had, but he's just at the peak of so much resource and talent and experience that now he's able to really pinpoint the way he wants the world to react to a lot of these verses and songs now. He's super, like, just his own channel.
Jay-Z.
Yeah, he's a channel. You know? So one verse comes out and it's like, ooh, let me check. Whoa, wow. Yeah, you know,
I definitely
it's just
tuned
so many
into that
ways.
Channel when the verse came out.
It's such a potent channel. It's doing so many things well at once.
Meek Mill's verse. Fed investigations heard they plotting like I trapped 20 mil in cash. They know I got that off of rap. Maybe it's the Michael Rubens or the Robert Crafts or the billionaire from Marcy and the way they got my back. That's definitely talking about Jay.
Definitely.
And then when you bring my name up to the judge, just tell him facts. Tell him how we funding all these kids that go to college. Tell him how we seizing all these wars, stopping violence, trying to fix the system and the way that they design it. I think they want me silenced. And he goes on and on, but either way, very, very powerful words talking about, look, I'm helping out my community. Right? Look, I'm sending these kids to college. Look how we's doing all these things to help them help out.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's like a California love, know, where Tupac gets with Dre and they ride off into the sunset career-wise. Like Jay-Z's officially, you know, it's a big, 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 big welcome home type record.
Yes, yeah. It's exactly. You're right. It's a good point because it's kind of, you're coming home. But the crazy thing is like Meek Mill compared to Jay-Z, Jay didn't have to do that.
It makes sense because, again, he's been involved in a lot of justice issues, a lot of politics, you know.
Yeah. I guess you're right.
And so it's a very intentional stance. Have you read that some of the things he's written in major newspapers himself?
Jay-Z?
Yeah, he's written New York Times editorial, if I remember correctly. I can pull it up. But he's written in like major publications himself about some of this stuff that they're talking about on this song.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
And then Jay-Z's verse, in the land of the free, where the blacks enslaved, 3/5 of a man, I believe that's the phrase. That's 3/5 compromise. That's eighth grade teak. It's eighth grade thing that we talk about. But very true. 3/5 compromise is, I think, for population, they considered an African-American, a person of color, 3/5 of a person instead of a full person. Even though they couldn't vote, but they would count them as population. Help the South states a lot count people.
Yeah, so New York Times, man, 1 year ago.
Mm-hmm. Jay-Z wrote in the New York Times.
The criminal justice system stalks black people like Meek Mill by Jay-Z. You seen this?
Oh, you got to read that.
Here's Jay-Z's words. This month, Meek Mill was sentenced to 2 to 4 years in prison for violating his probation. Hashtag free Meek hashtags have sprung up. And hundreds of his fans rallied near City Hall in Philadelphia to protest the ruling. On the surface, this may look like the story of yet another criminal rapper who didn't smarten up and is back where he started. But consider this. Meek was around 19 when he was convicted on charges relating to drug and gun possession, and he served an 8-month sentence. Now he's 30, so he has been on probation for basically his entire adult life. For about a decade, he's been stalked by a system that considers the slightest infraction a justification for locking him back inside. This is Jay-Z in the New York Times. And he also has a video here. It's called The War on Drugs is an Epic Fail. This is Jay-Z in the New York Times.
So him being able to use his influence to let people know about these social issues.
Check his next paragraph.
Go.
What's happening to Meek Mill is just one example of how our criminal justice system entraps and harasses hundreds of thousands of black people every day. I saw this up close when I was growing up in Brooklyn during the 1970s and 1980s. Instead of a second chance, probation ends up being a landmine, with a random misstep bringing consequences greater than the crime. A person on probation can end up in jail over a technical violation like missing a curfew.
It's like modern day black codes.
Yeah. Taxpayers in Philly, Meek Mill's hometown, Jay says, will have to spend tens of thousands of dollars each year to keep him locked up. And I bet none of them would tell you his imprisonment is helping to keep them safer. He's going in. So when they rap about it, man, no, it's not a big surprise, you know. This has been their voice. And if he's going to write a New York Times op-ed, he might as well drop the bomb. And that's what they're doing, man. This long verse with all these different shades of you know, what Jay-Z knows people want to hear from him. Still Dude. Flossing.
Flossing.
All of that.
Then he talks about...
He's a channel.
No red hat, don't Michael, and Prince me, and yay, they separate you when you got Michael and Prince's DNA.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't one of those house ends you bought. My house like a resort. My house bigger than yours. You get, yeah, some of that old classic Jay-Z stunting with, you know.
I think he's talking to Trump.
For sure, no red hat.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, don't being Michael, slick enough to where you might think he's talking about Kanye, too, because he kind of is.
Don't Michael and Prince me and yay.
Well, that part is, that's cool. But as he goes in, it gets a little slicker, you know.
They separate you when you got Michael and Prince's DNA.
That's cool. It's after that. You know,
I ain't one of those house ninjas you bought.
Right.
House like a resort, yeah.
Because if you're saying that, then, yeah, you know.
Then he makes a reference to chitlins. They gave us pork and pig intestines.
Yeah.
Shit you discarded that we ingested. We made the project a wave. You came back, reinvested, and gentrified it.
Mm-hmm. Talking real black.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, barbershop talk, huh?
Yeah, probably gentrifying himself a little bit, though.
Mm-hmm.
Building stadiums and whatnot. It's the whole picture. But it's just poetry. It's giving you really what's going on multiple levels, on a really nice production sound.
Man.
This is, who produced this record? It's basically Biggie.
Tariq Azuz and Street Runner.
Okay, it's basically Biggie. So, yeah, man, they on there. And it's definitely a hip-hop grew-up type of feel, because you would never get this record from kids. It's cool.
I think some kids could drop something like
that. Something like it, but not this.
No. Yeah, I guess you're right. He not kids.
Yeah, this is major level, man.
What's free?
What's free?
Jam, if you haven't picked up the Meek Mill album, check it, you know, listen, stream it, whatever. It's worth it. A lot of other songs are jamming on that record, too.
Record with Drake?
Record with Drake jams. There's a record with Cardi that jams, too. So, pretty well-rounded. Again, what surprised me, that Tekashi 6ix9ine record. Great production for Shizzle. Pretty short.
Mm-hmm. Near the top of the charts?
Scott Storch.
Still That's... under the King of Texas, though.
Yeah. Different.
Yeah, I'm talking about on those charts that mm-hmm. they're reading. That Jay-Z also kind of scoffs at on that verse. The Billboard.
Oh, I love that part, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
I gotta go. Let me look at that. I gotta go back.
Here. Let's go.
Yeah, dude, he goes in on that.
Yeah, but yeah, he's just saying, you know, it's a 21st century, so it's kind of like Billboard, whatever. And keep in mind, Jay-Z probably.
He was like, praising Billboard, but we were young. Now it looked like Billboard, like, is he dumb?
Yep, because Jay-Z's only had one or two number one hits ever on Billboard.
To this day, Grandma Frey, what I might say. They want to kill me, Grandmama. I'm not their slave.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Talking real rebellious.
Enjoy your chains. What's your employer name with the hairpiece?
Your employer's name.
Ooh.
So the different shades of Jay-Z.
Great, great verse. And great moment in hip-hop grew up, huh? All right, next thing I thought that was cool is on Instagram today.
IG.
Which I check pretty regularly, according to my, because I guess iPhone keeps track, so how long you're, you got screen time, and then how long you're on every app. Apparently, I'm on Instagram a lot. And your good friend Chamillionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Was doing some awesome things today, man. Some hip-hop grew-up kind of things. He posted Salute. Today, which he's always doing these like kind of like, hey, this is what I suggest you do, because he is a venture capitalist and, you know, and is always looking for the next hot idea and how people can get themselves to the next great idea. But he was talking about what is the best kind of investment you should make. And he goes in and talks about invest your time, invest your, you know, if you really want to invest in a company, invest your time, investigate it, look at other people who do it. You know,
read
a lot, do your research, do your homework. And if you're talking about, you know, whatever you're studying or whatever you're looking into, he says, go to Audible and get some audiobooks on the subject, you know, get more information. Like, I'm doing venture capital, so these are the audiobooks I'm reading. And he gives you his book list. One of them was The Millionaire Next Door and How to Invest in Technology Startups. And he gives you the author. You know, this was written by Jason Calacanis, Angel Investing, like all these things. So it was really cool seeing a rapper today telling people to read books.
Oh, yeah.
That's some hip-hop grew-up stuff.
It grew up. You'll always have that now. There'll always be some rapper trying to get you to read a book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Bun B was trying to get you to read a book, in a sense, with Jay-Z, you know that.
Big Pimpin' verse?
Yep. When he wasn't recording with Outkast. But, yeah, it's cool that Chamillionaire is just... He's always been ahead, man. He's always been ahead. He's always had his competitive edge extremely sharp. I mean, you know that. I'm telling you this. But
yeah,
what that reminds me of, too, is where's the drive for reading?
You're right.
We have the back-to-school drive.
Mm-hmm.
School supplies, backpacks... A lot of love. You can do it when we drop you off at school. And that's cool. It's supportive. It's positive. It sends people in on a good note. But then there's September, October, November, December starts, and the routine of school's in overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
Children will get 2 weeks off pretty soon.
So you're saying, like, at the beginning of the year, everyone, like, oh, it's back to school. Got mm-hmm. my baby clothes. Let's get their backpacks. And then
yeah.
if you're in Houston, you can go to Trey Day, right? And Trey mm-hmm. normally has his things at the beginning of the year where kids get their stuff, or, you know, a lot of people will do their back to school drives. And that's great for August. But I'm letting you know, as an educator, come December, this is halftime already, right?
Right. It's Christmas. Get that boy some pencils.
A book.
Or if not a book, just a reading experience.
Audible cards, something. Yeah, some pencils will help out.
Yeah, but I'm not really talking about just pencil, paper, books. I'm really talking about just exposure and culture and literacy for these young folks with these brilliant minds. And there's plenty who get plenty of it, but there's also plenty who don't. So while we're making sure that people who go without, so to speak, need supplies and bags and good feelings going in, let's keep in mind that they deserve an opportunity to learn, because it's the people's money building a system where they automatically go, where we teach, public school.
Public school always needs money, man. So if you, I know there's a whole bunch of people who kind of like, they'll just, teachers will just post, hey, I need this for my students, and mm-hmm. you get some things. I know there's
sure
people, but you reach out to DJ Bull.
DJ Bull has blessed us. We'll have him on. And, but it's not the money part, because I'm one teacher in mm-hmm. one classroom.
Mm-hmm. Donors choose. It's what?
It's education is more important than the money that goes into a system for one classroom or anything. Now, a lot of money can transform education, but a little bit of supplies. I'm not talking about the extended supply drive, but mm-hmm. shout out to DJ Bull, because mm-hmm. in any given situation, you can really bless kids to have opportunity just by having more supplies. But I'm saying the energy from where the supplies comes from, there still needs to be a support in learning and a support in enriching children's education. Like, it's just really, it's really different than just dropping them off sometimes. Just supporting in whatever ways are important. For some people, it's just making sure that grades look a certain way. And for others, it's making sure kids have a certain amount of experiences and culture. But I just simply ask that consideration maintains itself and is consistent. Because some people, you know, they might not really pay any attention to what their child is doing by day. Or make a lot of assumption and accept a lot of things when, in fact, they're the owners of the public school space.
Yeah.
And even if it's not public, mm-hmm. let's just remember, man, hip hop grew up. So what can we give these young folks? What can we give them? Chameleonaire says, let's give them resources. Let's make sure that they know how to research and read. Mm-hmm. And I feel that. I like that.
Yeah. And you're just not even talking about kids. You're just talking about anyone.
Like, anyone. Hey, anyone.
Get your learn on. Get your whatever
right,
you want.
Right. But what comes from that promotion? If adults are doing it, kids are going to see it, experience it, and do it too.
Yes.
It's just Chameleonaire, man. Salute Chameleonaire.
Salute him. And salute to anyone who's kind of, you know, if you got a nephew or niece or someone who you need to check on in and see how they're doing in education right now is the time. Or you checking on your own kids. Hey, how's
yeah, they need exactly what Chameleonaire is talking about, which is mm-hmm. gateways to information that serves their interests. That's really what he's talking about.
What are you reading about? What are you doing on your phone? What's going on?
What you looking for, what you're trying to do, size it up and go get some information. Go get it.
Yeah, that's some grown-up
stuff. It's grown.
Something else that is grown and you're starting to realize, like, how, you know, how old I am and how old all my peers and people who I did music with and people mm-hmm. I did mixtapes with are. Shout out to my boy Charlie Boy, Mr. I Look Good.
Mm-hmm.
One of the, you know, still one of the great, great, you know, rappers. You can call him singer, a little bit of both. He puts out things like a cappella, him and DJ Bull and the Dirty Third Records Camp and the Rhino and B Dibbles and all my boys out in East Texas. You know, Charlie Boy is from Calvert and Hearn. He claims both.
Right.
Like the Twin claims Cities. Both.
Like right outside of College Station.
Right outside of Bryan College Station, yeah, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Big trees, a lot of land, small towns. Both those towns are very small, Calvert and Hearn.
Right. I believe his mother runs the music at a church.
H-E-A-R-N-E.
What's up, Charlie?
Charlie Boy, I remember him bringing young David as a baby to these recording sessions. And we did Versatile Child. We did like What to Do Freestyle. We did a bunch of features. They would on at the house on Chestnut, and he would bring little David. And David is now a grown teenager.
Mm-hmm. And a rodeo champion.
Yes. A rodeo champion. He grew up. That's some East Texas shit right there. But I love that. Being from West Texas myself, people were in 4-H. There's George Paul Rodeo was down the street from my sixth grade and high school and my house. Mm-hmm. Really? So, like, people did that all the time. But just to see young David Williams. Charlie Boy's firstborn.
Hamlin Steers.
Yes, just to be a rodeo. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, and that's only in Texas. Not only in Texas, but you know what I mean. It takes a special place where mm-hmm. things are still that country.
Very country.
People riding horses on the sidewalk, you know. All that good stuff. But in Calvert and Hearn, definitely. There's just a whole slice of rural United States, you got to get on Amtrak to halfway see sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. unless you get there or you're connected still. So it's cool to see that way of life, you know, when we think about those same groups we name all the time who, you know, represented those country rap tunes that were real unique to this region.
He is definitely country rap.
Yeah, definition. You think about Charlie Boy and the fact that now you can have a grown man son who's a rodeo champ.
The fact that we're saying Charlie... C-H-A-L-I-E, just the way he says it. He's like, no, I want it to be Charlie Boy. Like, no, not like Charlie. Like, no, not like Charlie Boy. That sounds like stupid. He's like, Charlie, L-I-E. He made it a point. And he praises that. He likes, you know, from East Texas, he never left. I remember one time we're trying to get him to go out to Houston, and he was going for a while, but he just always went back to East Texas. And that's his home, proud of it. And David is a rodeo champion, so that's dope.
It's incredible. And it reminds me of a friend of mine, actually, who he was in Austin. He lives in Houston, but he and his daughter and his parents, et cetera, all are in town from Austin. This is my boy Milt, who I grew up with. Mm-hmm. One state, 5A, 200 and quarter mile.
Athlete.
Yes. He's actually the assistant coach of track and field mm-hmm. at Texas A&M University.
Damn.
Under Coach Pat Henry, whose LSU legacy is huge in track and field.
Okay.
So shout out to my boy Milt. We graduated high school together.
A&M. I was
his sports editor. And he came to Austin because he and his firstborn daughter,
yeah,
who's now well into her 20s.
Okay.
Right? She's born around the time we graduated, early 90s.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They graduate with the same master's degree from the same university in the same ceremony.
At the same time.
At the same time.
So he pretty much went to grad school with his daughter.
Yep.
And got a diploma at the same time.
Same time. Master's.
That's a dope together. Photo op, right?
That's crazy. That's a book. A movie scene, right?
Man. Some grown-up stuff. It's never too late to go back and learn something.
Hmm.
And achieve something. Like, you know, it's like just like, I can't, it's too old for me. Whatever. You always think about doing this, but. It's never too late to go to grad school, law school, finish up something, invest in something, do something positive.
Or just go to information, like Cam said.
Google it. Get a book about it, you know? Drive, your next big drive, just listen to an Audible book about it.
Ask questions.
Write them down. And that's some grown-up stuff.
Yes, sir. What you been listening to?
I've been listening to, let me pull it up. I told you I was jamming that Tekashi, played that a little bit. And...
I checked out the new Black Thought.
Big Crit.
We talked about Meek
Mill. He put out a couple of records, one called Learn from Texas that I like a lot.
Hmm.
A
lot of people learn from Texas.
Mm-hmm. Trill Sammy, another artist. And everything else, just like Kevin Gates, still. Zero's record's pretty good. Hmm. That's about it. What about you?
Not much. Checked out Black Thought. I listen to XM Radio pretty much every day, like Sway in the Morning and Heart and Soul and Rock the Bells and all these other different stations.
Yes, let us know what your favorite record is if we're having trouble. And there's always a constant, like, I'm listening to this, listen to that. But let us know what you're into. You can tag me up at Rapid Rick, at RAPIDRIC. Bavu is at Bavu Blakes. BAVUBLAKES, correct?
Yep.
All right.
If you're actually listening, give us a shout on a hat. And thank you to everyone who has been tuning in and to the Yak for putting us in this position. It's a good collaboration, man. It feels good so far.
Very good. And so we want to know your comments. This is Hip Hop Grew Up. Until next time, folks, we'll chop it up with you.
Peace.